3D6 down the line.
Okay, that is episode 67 in the books. Well done, guys. You guys have miraculously survived that cephalopod attack. I was saying off camera that I'm actually shocked that not that someone that didn't die, but I was sure that someone was going to get at least knocked out. But you guys played it smart, and better part of valor was definitely the smart way to go.
Sort of smart. I mean, getting into that was a bit first level of us.
No, you did all the right steps. You didn't do anything wrong. It's just that you had creatures that had like a significant surprise advantage. They had a four, like normally it's 2 and 6 for a surprise, you know. They had a 4 and 6.
Yeah, I think the wise thing to do would probably have been to attempt from a distance to see how the bodies had been killed, because if the white hair, electricity burns, et cetera, et cetera. Because I agree with John and Ed, which is to say that, like, that's a lot of death to telegraph a room with, right? Like, so doing anything in there after one action of, well, I think it's okay, is like pretty premature.
Well, you did say you looked up and that's where they were, right? But you just couldn't see them. I'm just saying, like, yes, investigating the bodies from a distance probably would have been a smart move. But
I mean, I interpreted them as having fought amongst themselves, and I just left it.
Fair. It's totally fair. No, I just don't want you guys to beat yourselves up that much. I mean, you played it smart.
No. This is a detail. This is where we run through this and like, what could we have done better, and like, what would have been the solid, you know, experienced move? It would have been to determine the cause of death before you enter the room, type of thing.
I tell you what I wanted to do and just didn't have the stuff for, which is a new experience for me, is not having anything on demand that I want and need from that stupid sack. When I'm looking at Wolford's inventory, I'm like, well, I got a rope, but I can't lasso a guy. You know, that's
I was going to try.
Right? Because, you know, all I wanted was something like, even if I had a crowbar or grappling hook.
You didn't ask if any of us have that, Matt.
I know, because I'm an idiot. Do you have one?
Yeah.
I deserve my 2 hit points then.
The thing is every single room that we've encountered where there have been a lot of bodies on the floor, there's always something that put them there.
Yeah.
Hammer Arden, the giant statue with the two guys, place where I got the cursed boots, like the big hall with like all those dead adventures. Like every place has been incredibly dangerous. And I don't know if we've seen this many bodies in a room except for the Hammer Arden room, right? Like, I mean, that we should have known better.
It's almost like this was telegraphed that it's a dangerous place.
wait a second. But I mean,
sorry, David, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's just it's a good example of the false security we feel, even from like the amount of space we've uncovered in this floor.
Yeah, right.
Or the presumption of where the Beastman might be and that we're doing a back door, any number of things, which is not a failure on anyone's part. It's just a reminder that, like, had we, for instance, gone from the debouchement to this room first and not anything else on this floor, we would have tried 5 different contingencies before entering that room. Right. And so there's a sense both by like room scope and the time that we've played, even if we're not all high level, there's still a level of like arrogance creep, right? Or like, you know, where you're like, well, I know how the game works, right? And then you're like, no, I don't. And I'm dead, right? Like, and in a weird way, being able to see a big like map where you've uncovered a bunch has the same effect of being like, well, I'm level 9, right? Like it has a very similar psychological effect. It's like, you fucking idiot. What are you doing? Right? Like, and all of us are that idiot, by the way, like you universally, because even I thought, well, I should rope one, but you know, whatever, we'll figure it out first. And then I was like, oh no, I should have said it earlier, right? Like,
Well, here's another, you know, step towards idiocy in every game that I think everybody's going to face, which is you're nearing the end of the session. You want to do stuff, right? Like, Mike, you are not alone. We all want to get stuff done and to make some progress and to find out what the thing is and either fight the thing or trick the thing or get away from the thing. And oh my gosh, we've got 10 minutes, right? Yeah. So you're going to start doing stupid stuff just to make things happen because you've got 10 more minutes to play.
Yeah.
Right. And what I will say to piggyback on that is
that's the primary perpetrator.
Precisely, but also like
we failed very hard at the end of the session. We had 5 minutes left, but we got information out of the encounter that was really critical.
We did.
Everyone's going to say, and then they'll get the detox when we're talking about it now, but everyone's going to say, David's out of his fucking mind. Why did he do that? Right.
No, I actually worked really well, David. I'm
and
super
fair and fair. But the reason is we learned about their movement rate, right? Yep. We had invisibility. I understood on some level the scope of the room, which is very large, right? And so, and then John said, well, the room more or less resets. And I went, well, okay, right? I'm going to try a sprint because I also have a high movement rate, even in my armor, because I'm so fucking strong. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So like then I got dead-ended, which was a very high possibility, right? In a way, but I got dead-ended, but was still invisible, thankfully. But like, what I thought would happen, for instance, and I'll be brief here, is like I'd either get to the other end, there was nothing, or there'd be a door, right? And if there's nothing, I'd circle back. And if there's a door, I'd try to get through it. I didn't think it'd be two halls and it'd be a split decision. So now it's a compounding problem and all of that. Mm. Now, again, the arrogance of thinking I know the criteria becomes complicated. I go south thinking maybe it'll loop around. It doesn't. Yeah. Not only doesn't, there's another wedged door. Holy shit, right? Thankfully, I'm invisible. Thankfully, and that's why I was like, well, I'm going to throw this torch because I know invisibility helps, but the torch will identify where I'm at. And not that they're literally moths, but I'm thinking like encephalopods, light, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to throw it to a position where I can still benefit from the use of the light without it attracting things to me, which is why I did the torch move.
It was very, very smart. That whole thing showed your experience of playing the campaign for 2 years. Absolutely. Or whatever it was. I had forgotten, like I did last session with Mort, that you were invisible. Because if you weren't, that would have been a very bad position for you to be in with that stuck door.
Dead.
Having to take a turn to open a stuck door. I mean, that's just them getting free attacks on you. You know what I mean? You probably would have had to retreat again.
Yeah. I would have died because I have 3 HP. I would have died.
Yeah.
I will say,
they get 5 attacks.
I think this is a good opportunity for us to set up a little bit of a trap for these guys. Now that we know that they're attracted to light, we can literally put light on like the pebble that returns and then throw it into the middle of the room. And then we're like all standing down the hallway with crossbows. You know what I'm saying? And then when they figure out that we're attacking them, then we can, swatted them. Sorry. I just swatted a little TIE fighter flying through my roof.
Anyway, classic Mike. If the computer had fully booted off in that moment, I would have insisted that we end the detox right there and just sign off.
Well, that's it, boys and girls.
But my point is like now we can ambush these guys, and then once we do, this is a great room. It's got stuff in it for us, and I think it's worth it.
For sure.
David, I am 98% sure that you just found the first divine scroll in the entire game.
Possible. It's possible. It's a bone scroll case.
Wouldn't that be a necromancy
scroll? Because
it's a necromancy scroll, my dude.
Because a magic user found it. And B, because Avaricios is not in the party.
Yeah, man.
Oh, just like, that's
a probability. Right. I will say one thing to piggyback on what you were saying, Mike, because I mentioned the Nets thing, but like, again, if these are like gelatinous jellyfish, right, to use a simpler term, they're soft bodied and their attack structure is electricity. Okay. If you brew up a bunch of balloons together and they electrocute the rope, it doesn't matter. Man, they're not breaking out by virtue of laceration or force, which means a net is an instant.
They have the beak.
Yeah. They have the beak.
Oh, they have the beak. I forgot about the beak. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's slow, but you know, it's a way to corral them in some way, is my point. And it's just a good example of how a mundane item could be more useful than a +1 sword in a scenario like this, right?
Rubber helmets, and that's where we're going here. Rubber helmets.
We're already wearing rubber pants. We might as well go full helmet, go full thing.
I was saying off camera though, it was I was sure that I was going to drop somebody, but it was actually sheer luck that Mort, the highest level guy, was actually the one that got attacked by multiple creatures. And even then most of the attacks missed you. One more would have
missed me if I'd remembered the ring in time.
Is that right? Yeah.
That's a +1. Avaricius hated giving that up, man. That's been on his finger a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, one more hit on Wolford and he would be past tense for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least we'd have to go into the rules, death and dying rules at least.
Yeah. But now we have to go and like do downtime for like 3 weeks to recover those hit points. Cause that's,
I mean, I don't wish harm upon anyone, but it would be funny if you had to do death and dying in your old hands and you lost the use of your hand again.
No! No! Then Lysian would have a new faithful. The left and right hand of Lysian.
That's how these weird cults get started, man, where suddenly all the priests of Lysian cut off a hand when they join. Oh, my God.
That's a good story. I like this.
That is. Yeah.
So
we only need one hand to drink.
Right.
For some geographical stuff and stuff that you should probably be aware of, you actually did gain some information here, at least about the Beastmen, is that from the barricade heading east, it seems evident that that is not Beastmen territory. Like, it looks like it was not claimed, right? Like, there were some Beastmen corpses there in the larger chamber, but they were there with like halflings and a human as well. Looks like to be a spellcaster. Now that seems to be sort of a similar situation as to the Great Hall from back in the day where the Ibis gargoyles were, right? So your assumption that you could go to the barricade and that was the boundary between the halfling, now goblin, and beastman thing might be a little bit premature, right? Yeah. Because you know that if you go south from there, that you'll eventually reach the Great Hall. But even that Great Hall, you heard me and the Beastmen, and I think the goblins also describe it as a no man's land, right?
Yeah.
You're that whole stretch there between the barricade and the Great Hall appears to be contested, or at least it was between the halflings and the Beastmen, which could answer your question about why there are no Beastmen answering your call, Ted.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I would also, I
just thought we saw Beastmen behind the arrow slits as we fled.
You did.
Yeah. They were shooting at us.
You sure did. Yes.
They were shooting in y'all. Yeah.
I would also point out, again, because we have the map, that though we may maybe not explicitly assumed this much, but there's the temptation when you see the debouchement to view it as the center point of the floor.
It seems very
evident that it's the upper left quadrant of the floor
right now.
And there's a substantial amount of space minimally in the bottom right quadrant that we haven't seen. And think about the scope of what we've seen on this floor and what we haven't there. Now, I could be wrong, right? But it's a very, very interesting to consider how big the Beastman area might be or how big the Beastman plus X, Y, or Z might be. I want to see the other side of this chasm.
Yeah.
Where does it go?
Yeah, I
know. If you can see my arrow here, I know the audience can't see it, but you know that there are those three barricaded entrances leading off the great hallway to the east. So, you know, you can be fairly I don't think I'm giving anything away here that, you know,
no.
My circled area right here is where you're talking about like Beastmen Central, right?
Certain.
What you were saying, David, is absolutely correct that you should not look at as a debouch centric view of the universe.
Hey, listen. Yeah. I would never.
Well, it also adds
rotates around the AV club. We know that.
There you go. Well, also think about the additional value to that southeastern corridor that we haven't explored. That's still, you know, very much in goblin territory, right? It's the one like, you know, if we just go east from our pyramid stash, it goes down and to the east.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to connect to this stuff. It's got to somehow, because the, you know, right up above it is the angled corridor that goes down to Goblin Town, but there's all that area to the east.
Right.
And I think there's stairs right there too.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly how it's laid out, but there is a staircase. So that's marked in the blue.
There is. And we were pointing out too a little bit earlier too that it's just kind of comical that for as much as you've been in the Debouche area, that you have never actually gone through the two doors in the southern corners of the Debouche chamber, like right there at the entrance.
Right.
There are two doors you've never gone through, and there is a portcullis passageway to the east that you've never gone in.
Yeah.
And it's like right there. Like the goblins are fully aware of it. You know what I mean? But you guys have never actually gone in there.
This circles back on something David was saying earlier, where like, I think we should just focus on trying to fill in all the blanks on this level and really get to know this level. And then, you know, we worry about some of the other stuff. I mean, doing the Beastman thing is great with the Goblin King, but man, I hate to say it, but I really enjoy the delving part of this whole thing. Right?
Well, the Beastman thing, though, is killing two birds with one stone, though, Mike, right?
Right. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about this because it's both.
I want to be on this level. I want to figure all this stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I was really pro Beastman as our objective. If any objective other than just new delving existed, right? Because it does hit those two points. I just wanted to make sure we didn't leave this floor with all these unintended things, right? And like our all of our doors open. So I love that we're and it's fun that, like, though it didn't leave where we thought it would, Ted, by going through this direction, thinking it'd be a back door, it may still be. But
it
like
may still be,
it may still be, because like who's traveling through this encephalopod room, really? Yeah. Not many. Yeah. You know. But even beyond that, again, it's a framing device on the map, which is, again, everyone, map your games. This is part of the fun. Map. It's a framing device. It doesn't matter if it's meta knowledge, because it's not, because you're mapping. But that's the whole thing. It's so exciting because now you're going, okay, interesting. I'm buttressing the top of this like realm, perhaps, right? Mm-hmm. And like, and that also contextualizes, like, I mean, this might be a bit of a stretch, but like, let's say the Beastmen have tried to enter into the space before, though, like the like warped and filled doors might say otherwise. But if they didn't penetrate the squid area, it says a little bit about their strength. It says a little bit about their bravery. It says a little bit about their objectives.
Yep.
And their intelligence.
Their intelligence. May not. They did. Or their intelligence.
There are Beastmen bodies amidst those corpses.
Oh, there are. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was just halfling in the. Interesting. Well, they tried to penetrate, right?
Yeah.
We don't see Beastmen bodies beyond. so we know they. Okay, so that's good, right? So we know that they prodded the space and maybe just turned around. Now, how far can we extrapolate, etc.? But like, that's a really, again, a useful piece of information.
Mm-hmm. It's also a very straight line from the main entrance to the Arden Vool to this area. So the fact that there are adventurer bodies there is also not a far stretch. You know what I mean? Like we're talking about like allowing adventurers back down here. This would be one of the avenues that adventurers would go towards. Like if they were rebuffed by Beastmen, the natural place to go would be in that eastern door.
Precisely.
Right? Yeah.
Right. The gargoyles and the Beastmen present a more obvious terror to a new adventuring group.
Yeah.
Than a room full of pillars and a couple corpses. Who knows? Yeah. And you know, we're them. We're the new adventuring group.
It also depended upon how people decide to treat with the Beastmen, which you guys have been very smart in the past sessions about picking up on your chances there. That is not just as simple as wandering into a room of mindless cephalopods that brain eat you, right? Like the ability of adventurers to actually treat with Beastmen is relatively high. They are not like auto attack sort of creatures, you know what I mean? They can be reasoned with, you know. So
yeah.
All right.
Well, I think it's important to do this level. I think it's important to fill all these blanks in, and I'm absolutely having fun with the delve. I just cannot overstate the importance of having a spaceship fly around and shoot dragons with it.
Also, I will say this, despite all of my own contestations or suggestions, they're all still overridden by fire portal to a spaceship and blow everything up. All of the wisdom that I wear, whether it's apparent or not, may or may not possess, out the door in the face of fire portal, spaceship, pew pew. Right? Like, I'm done. I'm still 11 years old. At heart, and that's all that matters to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Totally. Just gotta tie up those loose ends a little bit.
Yeah,
then you'll get to this spaceship.
Yeah.
I would accept one of the armed drones as a retainer too. I just want to put that out there.
Got it.
I want a Fallout drone. Look, we can reprogram them if we find a means for doing so, like a console. Or if we could disguise ourselves by some form of identification badge as a sympathetic, maybe they'd scan us. If we could Fire portal to Kerbal Khan's house, kill him because fuck that guy, take his shit, and then they'll love us maybe. Who knows?
For Kerbal Khan,
I'm dying to see
the blood sucking, you know, overseer. I'd never have any good.
You've
reason.
Never seen the blood trade actually happen. You're making wild assumptions to a guy that has the answers to many of the things that you're seeking.
One of our initial rumors was that there is a mad mage named Kerbal Khan with an army full of ghouls that he uses to hunt down adventurers and eat them.
What if, for instance, what if, not that this is the case, but what if the blood transfusion isn't so much a let me take your DNA as a let me turn you into a zombie. Let me make you one of my ghouls. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I don't know, guys. Well,
old magic traditions, a drop of your blood is what gives a wizard power over you.
I know that's what you guys are thinking, but hey, if you forego the Kerbal Khan route for your answers, I'm dying to see how you guys handle tackling that level of technology. It should be pretty fun.
I mean, he is the only guy who's hacked it before.
How hard can it be to fly a spaceship around?
As he looks back at the pile of corpses behind him that he's left.
I would love for the penultimate or the ultimate episode, either or, of Arden Vool as a campaign. Be us successfully take a spaceship off and have no idea how to land it, and just we didn't think this was true.
That would be fitting.
We'll just crash it into Gosterwick, whatever, man.
Gosterwick, we're gonna crash it into the wall of a hangar.
Yeah, that too.
So long and thanks for all the fish, boys.